We're back. Linda Cohen here, and I'm joined by one of my favorite guests on HealthLink on Air, Dr. Deirdre Nealon, Associate Professor of Bioethics and Humanities and the editor of Upstate's award-winning literary and visual journal, The Healing Muse. Welcome.
Thank you, Linda. Deirdre? I'm very well, and I love to be here, as you know.
And I love to have you. So, as usual, you've brought with you a very inspiring entry from this year's edition of the journal, and you're going to share it with us. But before we do that, I'll remind our listeners of the mission of this journal, because it's an incredible artistic contribution to our community.
I love to talk about the mission, which is really to continue to open up a dialogue between patients and clinicians, between patients and caregivers, and between caregivers and clinicians. So that whole circle of healing that happens within and without the hospital, this journal has pieces of that conversation going on.
Of people's experience, of the whole process of both illness and wellness healing. So what have you brought today?
Well, today I thought, since we like to talk so much about caregivers, I brought a piece. It's a prose piece, and I'm just going to read excerpts from it about what it's like for a person who's taking care of a person whose life has been completely overturned by illness. This piece is called Normal. The author is Monica Nowracki. She's a writer and teacher from British Columbia, Canada. Normal. I'm not sick, but I've been to the hospital 47 times in 10 weeks. I am adrift in the bone marrow transplant river, where three currents flow downstream toward wellness. Medical professionals move quickly in an identifiable pattern with a strong flow. The patient's current is generally absorbed by this stronger current. Few resist. But here, close to the banks, are partners, family, friends, caregivers. Our current is irregular and slow. It all but stops at times and gets caught in countless eddies on the edges of the river. We wait, we fetch, we worry, then we struggle to catch up like driftwood released from a tangle. In this stream, there is guilt, because we're lucky enough not to be the patient. People say, take care of yourself, take time to do things for you. So I do. And the whole time I wonder what her temperature is. When my partner first had the Hickman line inserted, running under her skin from her jugular vein and protruding from her chest, I couldn't even look at it without feeling lightheaded. Now I change the dressing, clean the wound, and flush the line with saline and heparin. Now it's almost normal. My struggle with the word normal goes way back, most prominently played out in the fact that I am a woman in love with a woman. For years, my mantra has been, normal is just a setting on your dryer. But secretly, I'm back to liking the word normal, craving it again as I did as a teenager, staring into the mirror, wishing for a normal crush. I like normal temperatures and normal white blood cell counts. I like normal hemoglobin and platelets, and I really like normal neutrophils. I like normal pulse and normal blood pressure. I fantasize that there is a normal outside of the bone marrow transplant world, and that if we are patient enough, we will get to live there. But at what point do I stop normalizing things? When should I start shouting, wait, stop, this is too much? Does anyone know where that line is? Do the people who take care of her even believe such a line exists? Perhaps the constant announcements of code blue over the PA system, the mutations of humanity in identical beds, have caused normal to fade away completely for them.
Wow. And I know it goes on.
Yes.
It goes on, but wow.
Don't you get such a sense there of how life in the hospital with illness totally transforms everyone? And yet, while you're in it, that's the new normal.
Exactly.
And so you're struggling between this idea of what is normal, and then what this author goes on to take that I think is very dramatic is, when do you say enough?
Well, there's this yearning, obviously, during a process of this type for the old normal.
Yes, exactly.
And yet, the confrontation and the acknowledgement that there is a new normal that you have to confront and somehow cope with on a regular basis. But then also the concept that within the hospital, within that setting, all of the people who are engaged in caring for all these people with illness see that as normal.
Exactly. And so their take on what's happening is just so calming that, as she goes on in the essay to talk about, that it helps her lover to feel a certainty that this is normal, it's okay, everything is going to be okay. But the caregiver, who's just a little bit outside that current, you know, lucky enough in some ways not to be the patient, but unlucky enough not to have the permission to just keep going and pretend that everything is fine. She really does a very delicate balancing act in this essay of talking about when do you start to have a serious conversation with your lover, your partner, your person, about is this worth it? Are we doing too much? And so that's what I love about the muse in general, but especially about this essay. It just causes you to think for a minute. On the physician's side, take the time to make sure the caregiver, too, is being heard. Talk to them. I mean, we talk to our medical students all the time about this, that you're not just treating the person, but you're treating the story that that person brings in, and that story obviously usually encompasses a family. And it's really good for them to understand what we're doing in this stream, which is flowing so fast. I mean, once you get in there, it's going at record speed as they rush you from procedure to procedure or medication to medication. It is okay to sometimes slow down and say, this is what's happening. How do you feel about what's happening?
And is it worth it?
And is it worth it? Yeah.
Well, the other thing that strikes me about it that I think is really profound is the role of the caregiver, which is often, it's such an essential part of the entire process of being ill and healing. In most cases, people have someone in their lives who takes that role on.
Yes.
Not in all cases, but in most.
Yes.
The question then is, how does the caregiver survive the process? How do they cope?
Exactly. And one of the things that she tells us in this essay is that writing this essay was her time to jump off that stream and write. And then the way she closes the essay is very beautiful because she says, I've got to jump back in now. It's time to go back.
Why don't you read just that last little part
at
the end?
Okay. She says, I watch these things from the shore where I have dragged myself out of the river long enough to think about it, write about it. And before I dive back in, I ask myself again, where is that line? How can I make it visible, like the equator on a $10 globe? Is it my job to find it? What are the consequences if I don't? I ease myself off the bank, back into the icy, muddy water. I don't want her to get too far away. So I push off from this dangerous little eddy and rejoin the slipstream.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one thing we need to remember, people who are find themselves in the position of being a caregiver, is that somehow we need to take time to basically muse about it, reflect on it, and take care of ourselves through that process.
Exactly.
And not just be all of the energy going out, but somehow finding a way to rejuvenate.
Exactly, because that's going to help the person that you're there to care for.
So this is one example of so many beautiful entries into this year's journal. I mean, there are so many poems, and that reminds me that I wanted to mention that April is National Poetry Month.
Thank you for remembering, yes. And here at Upstate, the Muse is going to sponsor a gumball machine, a poetry gumball machine over in Weiss-Cotton Hall. So for our listeners that are here at the Medical Center, just remember, in National Poetry Month, read a poem. It'll make you feel better.
Oh, absolutely. And all of these entries that you bring to us, the poems, the essays, even some of the artwork, really does help us think and feel better about the entire process of healing. So I want to thank you again. Well, my guest has been Dr. Deirdre Neal, and she's Associate Professor of Bioethics and Humanities and the editor of Upstate's award-winning literary and visual journal, The Healing Muse. I hope you'll come back real soon with another entry because I really enjoy this very, very much.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Well, we'll be right back right after the news with more HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.